Greetings, church. For those of you that don't know me, my name is Mario. It's my beautiful wife there, Tertia. But you have a wonderful opportunity after church to come and chat with us. Eh? Our time only costs a little bit of money, but we will put up the offering baskets outside. So, guys, we're talking about worship. This past couple of weeks, we've investigated just this thought and this attitude of the heart of worship and how this worship looks like. And I mean, we went from gelato, talking about ice cream, to talking about sowing, to talking about serving. And what we have come to the conclusion that all of our worship is more than a song. That all of our lives should be worship unto God. That not just coming here on a Sunday and just sits pulling those heartstrings of this old revival hymns that he's singing here. But worship is the everyday life. And it's more than just the songs we sing on a Sunday morning. But worship is what we share with one another. What we share on a Monday. We gather here on a Sunday. But what do we do on a Monday? Are we sharing our worship with other people? And so I don't know if you have got accustomed to, as I've done over the last couple of weeks. So every time after the sermon, the preacher kind of like gives us a 5 minute to kind of like digest the word. I don't know if you've noticed that. So I've enjoyed it. Me and Tertia would sit there at the back and we will have our 5 minute conversation. But it was so good. But this morning, we're going to flip it around. Instead of having our five-minute moment at the end, we're going to start off with having our five-minute moment right now. So what we call it is a salt moment. The Bible says that we are the salt of the earth. So we need to be salt towards one another. We need to be salt at our homes. We need to be salt at our works, at our schools. We need to be that salt. And how we as every nation define salt, it's our evangelistical strategy, is to start a conversation with somebody. Ask them questions. Listen carefully and prayerfully. And then tell your story about the goodness of God in your own life. So, but we don't have a whole sermon to do that. We only have 5 minutes that I'm going to give you guys. So instead of talking to the normal person, look around, see somebody, go to that person. I'm going to put a clock on the board and I'm going to give you 5 minutes to have a conversation. Ask questions. Listen prayerfully. And then tell story of what God did in your life this week. It's just like simple. If God was good to you, tell the goodness. If you don't have a story to tell, tell about somebody else's testimony that you heard. Amen? Father, we praise you and we worship you and we give you all the glory. That yes, Lord, we can worship you, Father, Lord, when we together and having those conversations in your presence. We see testimonies, Father, Lord, of our faith with one another, Lord. We can worship you, Lord, in singing, Father, Lord, in adoration and glorify you and lift up our lays, Lord, and abandon ourselves, Lord, before the cross of Calvary, Father, because of what you've done for us. I pray, Father, Lord, that as we praise and worship, Lord, and as praise and worship becomes part of our life, Father, Lord, that it will put fire in our testimonies. That it will compel us, Father, Lord, to stay by the goodness of God, Father, Lord, to everybody and anybody around us, Father, Lord. That we will come to such a place, Father, Lord, like Jeremiah says, that it is fire within my bones, that I can't keep my mouth shut, but I want to share about the goodness of God and what the Lord has done for me. I pray, Lord, that that will be the attitude of our hearts, Lord, this morning, today, Father, Lord, and for the rest of our lives, Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen. You guys may be seated. I found that praise and worship are two of the most powerful spiritual weapons that I possess. That when I'm down and outcasted, when I'm heavy laden or I'm going through a tough time, and I just sit in my car and I don't want to get out, and I can just put on the music and put up the worship song and surrender myself before God while pouring out my heart in singing and worship, there's such breakthroughs that I've experienced in moments like that. But it should not just stay there. It should not just stay in those moments. But when we do praise and worship on a Sunday morning, when we do singing, when we do what the Bible says, we come together with songs and hymns and we have that that moment of lifting up our hands and giving God glory. It should not just stay there. There's something that stirs within us. There's something that brings about this testimony of faith. As we will later see in the life of David. That when we go through that pit, when we go through that troubled times, when we go through that dark season and we cry out to God for help and God starts lifting us up and we can come here and we had a tough week and we can just worship God. There's something about our testimony that starts to happen that we could share with a total stranger, that we could share with a brother or a sister in this room and says, you know what? This is what the Lord has done this week for me. And that's the power of worship. That your testimony of faith puts power into your praise. Gratitude always anchors worships. It always comes out of a place of thankfulness of what God has done for us. What we couldn't do for ourselves, He did for us. It ignites our worship that when we get here, our testimony of how God carried us through, it puts this fire in us that we want to worship God, that we want to lift up our hands, and that we want to praise Him. But it also a proven thing that others are standing the gap for us. That when we couldn't for ourselves, other people interceded for us. When we were too weak to carry ourselves through this, to carry our families through this, and people were standing in the gap, it proves that God moves on the prayers of other people. But the thing is, it must be shared. Your spiritual testimony must be shared. Your worship must be shared. It cannot just be contained in a Sunday morning service. It must be shared throughout the week, wherever we go. And our lives should be as of it. There's that quote from St. Francis that I love and I've kept it close to my heart. And it boils down to this where he says, preach the gospel at all times, but if necessary, use words. So it means that the way I live and my lifestyle and the way I portray myself amongst people, that should be my sermon every day, everywhere, to everyone. Christ in me, the hope of glory. The power of your testimony of faith must be shared with others because there are people praying to the Lord and you are the answer that God is sending. We sometimes might not know why we have to share our testimony or why we have to share that, yes, you know what, God came through for us this week. And you know what, God blessed us. And you know what, God healed my mom. And you know what, God touched my daughter. There is something that, why we have to share that. And sometimes we don't know. But many a times I've realized that after I've shared, people would say, yes, so this word just came at the right time. And the Spirit of God compels something in us and stirs in us. That even in that moment while we're sharing about the goodness of God, we are still in a place of worship. Some pray that He would show Himself to them. People are seeking the Lord to see if they can trust Him. Some are seeking God for salvation. Others are seeking Him for healing and for provision and for guidance. They need to hear what you have to say. They need to hear what is inside of you. They need to hear what comes out of you when life are perplexed and press you from all sides. People need to hear that. We see in the life of David that David went through a difficult time in his own life. The Bible is not clear about what the structural struggle was, but David faced many struggles because he had many enemies. He was constantly in wars and fighting battles for God. He was constantly tempted with lust and temptations from all sides. And here David is crying out for the Lord for help. He says, Lord, that you will please help me. I don't know about you, but I've been in that place many a times where I'm so in the battle and I cry out to God, God, will you please save me? God, will you please come through for me? And we read in Psalm chapter 40. It says, I waited patiently for the Lord and He inclined to me and heard my cry. He drew me up from the pit of destruction, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon the rock, making my steps secure. He put a new song in my mouth, a song of praise unto our God, and many will see and fear and put their trust in God. We see verse 1, he says, and I patiently waited unto the Lord. I patiently waited unto the Lord. After David has been crying out to God, sometimes we are crying out to God and we ask, when is God's going to come through for me? When is God's going to change my circumstances? When is God's going to come through for my business and for my family and for my children? And it doesn't happen and we become impatient. But we see here, David says, and I waited patiently for the Lord. He doesn't say how long he waited, but he waited patiently for the Lord. But you see, David just didn't wait. It was a waiting and a worshiping. That even if God didn't come through for him, he said, I will still praise you and I will still worship you. I can remember just after me and Tisha, we got married quickly, short after that, within 2 months, 3 months, became pregnant, and we had no work because we believe we are supposed to go and tell the world about what Jesus has done for us. And there was no food and there was nothing. And I got at the gallery where I was working for free. She sends me this, please call me. And that time you can still edit. You could edit the please call me. She would go, please call, I'm hungry. And so here as a newly married man, you feel that weight of that responsibility unto you. And now just after hearing that your wife is pregnant, and he says, and I cried unto God that day. And I said, Lord, I laid my life down for you, and I will continue to lay my life down for you. And my prayer was this that morning, and I said to the Lord, Lord, my wife and my child didn't give their lives to you and lay their lives down as I'm laying it down for you. But even if you don't come through for me today, yet I will worship you. Yet I will praise you. Yet I will glorify you. Yet I will go to the ends of the earth if you send me to. And that was my prayer. And I just put on the songs and I started worshiping God that day, that morning. And I sang one song. And I sang another song, and halfway through the second song, as tears is rolling down my face, somebody opens the door of the gallery, and he asks me, are you Mario? And I said, yes. He says, yeah. And he puts inside of my hands 100 notes, 200 notes, hands full of money, and the tears is rolling down my face. I've never met this man before. As I'm running to the door to ask his name, he jumps in the car and he drives away. Yet I will worship you, Lord, even if I'm in a tough place. Even if I'm in a dark place, yet I will worship you. And I will give everything for you. We oath to witness the spectacular hand of God in our lives and as we worship in God. And sometimes we want the dramatic moments, and yet we forget the day-by-day miracles that God is giving us every day. We are supposed to witness something beyond ourselves. We are to be in awe and spellbound. We are to be mesmerized by the life-giving, life-flowing power of God. We should be motivated to tell others about what we have experienced. It's never meant to be kept for ourselves. And sometimes we go through this stuff so that we can have a story to tell other people of what the Lord has done for us. The Word of God is filled with testimonies and stories of people of faith and how they broke through for them. I think of the disciples that was locked up in prison because they shared the gospel. And when they got locked up in prison and they had chains and balls to their ankles and they were chained against the wall, the Bible said they were praising and worshiping God. And at midnight hour, they had a mighty earthquake. The chains fell off them. The prison doors opened and they walked out of the prison. And the prison guard fell flat on his feet and he says, "What must I do to be saved?" Because he just witnessed a miracle. And the disciples could tell him, "Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you and your whole household shall be saved." You see, it's never meant for us to be kept for ourselves. It's always meant for us to share with other people. It's no different in praise and worship. As you sing, hope arises, faith is renewed, strength is restored, strongholds are broken in you and in the lives of those around you as they see how you worship in God. I could remember this one day. I was in the prison. I asked one of the wardens if it's okay that I could have a quiet time in his office. He left the office. I was laying in the office on the floor in the middle of the prison, and I was weeping before the Lord, and I was crying and worshiping Him. But in that moment, God says to me, "Stand up and open the door." And as I opened the door, one of the young men, one of the prison gangs, he came passing that door. And at the moment that I was opening the door, he was passing through. And I invited him, and he got saved at that very moment. You see, sometimes it's not just about being in the moment of worship, but sometimes it is opening the door and telling other people of what the Lord has done for you. Worship is celebration. It's a celebration to be experienced. Sometimes people will come from far and wide just to celebrate with you in this moment. But it's also a celebration that needs to be shared. It's also a celebration that needs to be given to other people. And therefore, in the life of David, I saw David's worship was both upwards to God, but it was always outwards to people. At one point in David's life, when he was bringing home the ark, he was so in such a space of worship that he took down his clothes and he worshiped publicly. Some people despised him, but that was his way of witnessing publicly to what the Lord has done. Worship is cross-dimensional. It's both vertical and horizontal. It goes up and worship to God, but it should also be expressed outwards to other people. There's my little diagram that I've made. And right in the center is the cross. But when we look upon the cross, as we sang this morning, yet we see the offering that was made for us, a bloody sacrifice. But it was an offering of worship unto the Father. David said, "Many will see that this is how, and many will know, and many will fear and revere and be in awe and put their trust and their security in the Lord." But Psalm 40 verse 3. As David praised God and many saw it, they did not merely hear his praise, they saw him praising. And in turn, the same security that David found in God, other people that saw him praising God, they too wanted what David had, and they too found their security in God. We just don't worship just at church because it's the right thing to do. It's the church thing to do. We worship because We are celebrating what God has done for us. We are celebrating who He is. We are giving all glory to Him. And people from far and wide, they will see you and they will hear you worship God. David had an experience with the Lord. God had rescued him and refreshed him. David had experience that changed his life. And he couldn't be silent about it. He sung praise to God. He says, put a new song in my mouth, a hymn of praise unto our God. Verse 3. You see, David just didn't sing any song. He sung a new song. The Psalms are meant to be sung. We need to sing those Psalms because every time David went through a struggle, whether he faced the bears or the giants or the enemies, every time he went through the miry clay and he came out on the other side, he started writing a new Psalm and he started taking out his guitar and he started worshiping God through that Psalm. That was his life. God gave him a new song. And I don't know what you've been through this week. I don't know what you've been through this year. I don't know how difficult it's been to you. But God wants to give you a new song. God wants to give you a new song where you could sing. It might not make sense to other people, but it will make sense to you because it's what the Lord has done for you in that moment and in that space. And where you can lift your hands and sing in your own tongue and in your own language and however you want to, loud or soft. You sing unto the Lord because He has given you that new song. Throughout the Bible, there are close, vibrant relationships between our worship and our witness. It is reflected in two ways. People from God are drawn to Christ through worship, and people close to God are compelled to share Christ of the worship. And that was the illustration this morning while we had that moment of singing hymns and praising God and worshiping God, that we should also be compelled to talk to one another and be the salt and have that conversations and ask that questions, not just merely how are you doing, but how are you really doing? And then we could encourage one another. The Bible says with psalms and hymns and testimonies and the Word of God and what Christ has done for all of us. As a child, I was always mesmerized by the invisible force of magnets. It's like when you push the two positives, the one will move away. But as moment as you have a negative and a positive, it is drawn close to each other. There's nothing in between, but there's a force in between that draws it to each other or pushes it away from one another. And I believe worship is the same way. There's a magnetic influence of worship that will draw people to Christ. But there's also that magnetic influence of worship that will push people out to share about Christ. Are you being drawn this morning to Christ as we are worshiping? Have you come here this morning heavy laden and burdened and laying everything at the feet of Jesus? Or are you feeling this morning compelled that I need to go share about the goodness of what God has done for us? Lost people will always be drawn to Christ through our worship. Paul told the Corinthians church to worship in such a way that if an unbeliever entered, that he must be convicted. If somebody comes in these doors, are they convicted because of the way we worship? Jesus stated, and as for me, if I am lifted up from the earth, I will draw all people to myself. Is that magnetic force again? Here we was talking about his death. He was so much illustrating the heart of worship. As we lift Jesus up, as we exalt him above our own means and our own needs and our own, people are drawn to him. Because of our worship. David cited an evangelistic attraction of honest worship. He says, I will praise you, Lord, among the people. I will sing praises to you among the nations. But Psalm 57, when God's people express the presence of God, when they meet God engaging their hearts and lives are changed. People are changed. One of the great fathers of faith, William Booth, said, if the church is on fire for God, many people will come from far and wide to see it burn. I want to challenge us today. If we are on fire for God through our worship, many people will come from far and wide to see us burn for God. The Bible teaches us over and over again that God would draw seekers to Himself through authentic worship by His people. More people are won by Christ through worship services, through people feeling on their hearts that God has touched my heart. There is something in this that God is not dealing with the outward appearances, but God is dealing with my heart. There's not many stories that I've known about that people got saved because of our apologetic arguments, of our intellectual teachings and stuff like that. That's why Paul said, I have simplified the gospel so that all men could understand it. But people come into worship and they see what God is doing in your life and they want what God has done in your life and they want the same thing. People come into these doors and they see the excitement, they see the smiles, they see the tears, they see everything and they say, I want that. But in the same way, lost people could also come into this church and they see some people yawning and some people feeling bored and stuff like that. And they would say, but sure, I don't want this. So the coin is both ways. How are we expressing the heart of worship? But I want to take it one more step closer that if lost people are viewing us like this, how is our children looking at us? How are our children looking at us, the way we worship, the way we live our lives daily, the way we express Christ, the way we share the gospel? How are our children looking with us? Do they see the same excitement as when we go on holiday, as when you tell the people, come, let's go to church? Sometimes don't. There's always a fight. You're making me late. Put down your socks. There's always a fight before going to church. No excitement. I'm not talking about you guys. I'm just talking about us, the Rousseaus. Don't worry. This is a safe space. A couple of days ago, I missed it, unfortunately, but Tisha was there, and it was kind of like an award ceremony at school. And so while all my daughter's peers, she's turned 9 last week, and while all her peers got academic awards and got sports awards and stuff like that, she got an award for best fellowship and leadership on the school. And I was thinking, like, who gives awards like that at the school for best fellowship? And some of the remarks that were made from the other parents was, we can see that's a pastor's daughter. But isn't that we told her what she must do and what she mustn't do, but it's the life that we model in front of her because constantly she's watching what we're doing. And when she was a little bit smaller, like Sergio's little one did here this morning, when I would raise up my hands in worship, Phoebe would raise up her hands in worship. When I would sit down, she would sit down. She was imitating my very move. Our children is watching the way we expressing our hearts of worship unto our God. But so are the lost world out there as well. How are we expressing God? Are we laying our lives down all in all, like Paul says in Romans chapter 12, that I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God, and this is your true and proper worship, that we lay everything down. I can remember when we started this sermon series, Pierre gave us like a little 5 minutes there to discuss what we've heard and just digest the sermon. And I said to Tertia, you know what? All my life when God saved me, I didn't have much to give. But every day, my worship was laying my life down for Him. That was my worship unto God. And even up until today, I said, Lord, I don't have a lot to give, but I lay my life down in worship for You. Are we laying down our lives in worship in such a way that people sees, that's the God I want to serve? As worship draws us, worship also sends us. There's some scattering actions of worship. The Bible revealed the correlation between people encountering God through worship and the effect it had on their lives as they went out to share Christ. I just want to share one or two scriptures. Isaiah chapter 6 verse 1, it says, and I saw the Lord seated on a high and lofty throne, and His robe filled the temple, and my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. And then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, who shall I send and who will go for us? And I said, here I am, Lord, send me. You see, Isaiah was commissioned when he was laying flat on the floor and worshiping God. And he heard the call of God, who shall I send and who will go? And just to bring it back home, when me and Tertia, we got engaged and we said, okay, let's start this journey together. I said to her, there's a scripture that I prayed most of my life when God saved me. And it was Isaiah chapter 6, verse 1. And I prayed to the Lord and I said, Lord, I will go. Here I am. Send me. I will go. And I said, when we do get married, remember there's going to be times when God's going to send me. Because I cried out to Him, Lord, here I am. I will go. But God blessed me in such a way that whenever God sends me out to go, my whole family goes with me. They don't have to stay behind. They don't have to do what we've always went together as a team to go and do what the Lord has laid in our hearts to do. Isaiah was commissioned out of a place when he was encountering God in worship. Matthew chapter 28. We read the scripture about the Great Commission, about Jesus and His disciples. The Bible says, and when Jesus came, they fell down and worshiped Him. And in that moment when the disciples was worshiping Him, Jesus said to them, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given unto me. Therefore go out and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them everything that I've taught you. You see, they too were in a moment of worship when they got the Great Commission. Shouldn't that compel us as a church that when we are in this moment of worship, that we will go and say, Lord, here I am, please send me, that I will share the gospel, that I will be the salt and the light wherever you send me. Isn't that the story of the early church in the book of Acts chapter 2? And when they were in a place of worship and prayer and the Spirit of God fell upon them and they were compelled to go to Samaria and Judea and up until the ends of the earth and share their worship and what Christ has done in them and through them to the rest of this world. Shouldn't we be compelled in the same way when we come together and we worship? Or when we're at our house and we put on the radio and we worship. Or when we're in our quiet room and we worship. As you worship God, it will both draw you and it will send you. And that is what the cross was meant to do. That is the cross of worship. Jesus says, oh, I draw all people to myself and to the Father. But worship will always confront your heart. Irrespective of who you are, irrespective of your color and your race and your tongue, worship will always confront your heart. That when we engage in those moments of worship, we need to come and lay aside every burden. Every trouble, every anxiety, every fear, every care. and celebrate God's gift of mercy, God's touch of forgiveness, God's provision, God setting your foot on the rock. That we sing and celebrate with a new song that the Lord has put inside of our hearts. But this is only one side of the cross. That we come to celebrate because what God has done. The other side is to tell others about our experience. Worshippers, just don't enjoy the wonderful presence for yourselves. Invite people to join with worship. Call others to join you on the mountain top of worship, to come into God's presence, to stand before God's throne. That's the other side of worship. Which side of the cross are you today? Are you being drawn to God because of worship? Or are you being sent out? If you are still being drawn, lay aside everything and pick up your cross. We sang this morning that I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. The cross before me, the world behind me. No turning back, no turning back. And it's the actions of following Christ that we worship Him at best in our daily lives. Which side of the cross are you on of worship? Are you inviting others into the presence of God? Or are you going out and say, I want to share worship. I want to share my life as an offering of worship unto God to others. When we had to name our daughter, we gave her name Phoebe. And Phoebe basically means she's a messenger of light. There's a girl in the New Testament called Phoebe. And then we gave her a second name, Beulah, or how we would say Beulah. And Beulah in the Jewish translation means married to Yeshua. And the declaration basically that we made over our lives, that we know from the day she was born that she is not ours, but we are only stewards of what God gave to us to raise for His glory. That we committed her back unto the Lord. And every time we call her, that's what we declare of her and over her, that you are a messenger of light. And that your covenant is with Jesus. And that you owe us nothing. But we are stewards of what God has given unto us. My question to you today is, what has God told you in this moment of worship? There's so much stories in your life that has happened. That's all glory to God. There's so much testimonies that I have. It's all glory to God. Paul says, I am what I am because of what Christ has done. We can't take credit for anything that God has done. But if you're not there yet, if you don't feel like you are a worshiper, or you are the worshiper, or that I haven't given my life to God, and I can't worship as other Christians worship, there's still a moment today where you say, I want to come from the one side of the cross, and I want to meet Christ at the center of the cross, and then I want to move to the other side of the cross and be sent out, and raise my hands like Isaiah did, and says, here I am, Lord, please send me. And some of you sitting here today have also felt compelled to share Christ, but you feel unequipped. You feel like, I'm not the evangelist, I'm not the pastor, I'm not the apostle, I'm not the leader, I'm not spontaneous. Paul prayed, Lord, make us bold so that we might share the gospel. I want to invite you in a moment of worship. If you guys can just lead us in a moment of worship, and the pastoral team is here if you guys need prayer. But I also don't want to let this moment pass you by. That way you can say like Paul says, that I could lay my life down as a living sacrifice unto God. And this is through worship unto the Lord. Come, let's stand and just take a moment in worship. And let this first moment just be silent worship between you and God, and just reflecting about what God has told you and in your heart. Gustav said that worship is the goal of evangelism, and evangelism is the fruit of worship. I love it. But let's just take a moment of awesome silence and just worship God in your heart. And if God is speaking to you this morning, God is nudging your heart, God is pulling on your heartstrings, maybe this moment was for you. I want to invite you to the front, and the pastoral team will pray for you as we conclude the service. We will be here.